Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
The captain here is older than the selfie. Yes, that's right. I'm an ancient relic from historical times. You know, I remember the one-touch camera that spit out the photo that you just took, and you had to, you know, flap around in the air, you know, wait for it to develop right on the spot. I remember when that
shake it like a Polaroid.
Yes, I remember that being an advance in technology, because prior to that, you actually had to buy this little cartridge that had film in it and like sort of pull it out, and if you did it wrong, you'd screw up a whole roll, and then you put it in the camera, and then you only get so many pictures. You know, there's a limit to how many you can fit on a roll. So, you know, you get 20 or 50 or something like that. And then when it's done, oh, you better have brought another roll. So I'm older than this technology. So
you can't fit 1,000 pictures on a tiny little stick?
Yeah, no. And in fact, I still own something that a lot of you kids out there have probably never heard of. Or if you have, it's only because you stumbled upon one in your grandmother's attic or whatever. And that is a photo album.
Ooh.
That's right. This is a binder or a book, a physical
manual.
Yeah. Where you photos that were taken and then developed into physical photographs.
Analog.
Yeah, analog. This from Reason.com. Smile, the IRS wants you to send selfies to a facial recognition company. So of course, the government never does anything themselves. They, you know, they don't have anything, they don't make anything. Right. Everything they do, they must first take from somebody else to make happen. Right. Either whether it's money or they make other people do it in some way, shape or form. So, of course,
steal our time from our productive behavior or just steal the symbol of our time.
You know, some people may see this as a double edged sword. It's one thing to send a selfie to a government organization known as the IRS. It's a whole other thing to send it to a third party company that the IRS has contracted with, whom they say is safe. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not trust the entity known as government to make a decision as to whether or not a tech company on their payroll that they're outsourcing this stuff to is going to keep my stuff private.
Well, and isn't it just convenient that, well, if we were doing it ourselves, you might be able to make a FOIA request. You might be able to get a hold of this information, find out what we're doing with these pictures of you. But since we outsourced it to this company, they're not beholden to this, transparency that the government pretends to have.
Yeah. And also, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that while we're talking about the IRS, that the IRS does spell theirs. Recently, Johnny Fever, Mr. Hessman, the guy who played Johnny Fever, he passed away. And so on one of these online, you know, always streaming site, they did a 24, they're still streaming nothing but WKRP in Cincinnati.
Hmm.
And now I watched that show when it was actually on. My parental units would watch it every week whenever it came on. And so I was exposed to that show. I didn't know. I always thought it was just a poor mix. The very end of the show, there's an end song when the credits roll and all that kind of thing, there's a song. And it's a very, you know, sort of rockin', you know, late 70s sounding rock and roll, very high tempo for rock and roll, lots of pianos. It kind of sounds like a up-tempo Billy Joel tune. But I always just thought it was a bad mix and that you couldn't understand what the guy was saying, right? But it turns out that when they wrote that end song for that show, that the guy who wrote it didn't have any lyrics, but he made a demo with the music and everything, where he just over the music, and they ended up just using that.
Wow.
So there aren't, it's gibberish. It's complete freaking gibberish, but it sounds like.
Let me check the lyric sheet. Yeah. It says gibberish.
Is there a cryptocurrency fundraising website that mimics something like a GoFundMe?
Not that I can think of offhand.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, are you a developer? Do you have an entrepreneurial spirit? Well, take this idea now that we've announced it on national radio and on the internet and make one. How hard can it be to like just recode the payment system of something like that?
Yeah, it's one of those ideas that seems so obvious that it should exist.
Because I would think that this would be a good time for cryptocurrency to show its might, you know, when we have stuff like Mark's talking about where...
Yeah, some kind of a go bit me.
Something, yeah. Mark, your thoughts?
It sounds good to me. I don't trust PayPal. They're not giving the money up to the truckers. I'd rather just see them get it personally. I mean, I'd rather put a check in the mail or put cash in the mail, and hopefully it gets to the right person.
Well, if you do get an address, make sure you do a check or a money order, because if it's cash, a lot of the people at the post office are dishonest enough that they will take that out of whatever you send.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's nowadays, you can't trust anybody.
Well, you certainly can't trust unknown, unseen government bureaucrats, that's for sure.
What was that, Mark?
Hey. You can trust the government. Ask any American Indian.
I'm in South Carolina, and James Brown was born in Barnwell, right about 30 miles from here. Anyway, he's a badass. Anyway, the IRS, I don't mean if you guys will repeat yourself, but I tuned in a little late.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying you got to take a picture of yourself or something?
Yeah.
To do what? To file your taxes?
So I'll just read a brief part of this. And
I'm sorry you have to repeat yourself.
No.
We
actually hadn't gotten into it, so I'll get into it right now. This says, no identity left behind. Americans who want to access tax return transcripts, check on child tax credits, or do other tasks through the IRS website. They will have to turn over their image to a facial recognition company called ID.me.
Oh, man.
To get verified through ID.me, a person must provide a photo of an identity document, such as a driver's license, state ID, or passport, and take a selfie with a smartphone or computer with a webcam, the IRS website explains. The IRS is a horrible organization. To call them an organization is actually kind of a misnomer. They are an enforcement arm, is what they are.
Well, and the IRS in particular. So other countries actually rely on taxes in order to run their government.
Right.
However, the United States, because it's the world's reserve currency, they can print up as much as they want anytime they want, and it doesn't matter for them how much taxes they come in. So what they use the tax
as evidenced by the $30 trillion.
Now, what they use the tax structure for is as a system of social control. I mean, don't get me wrong, they like having the extra money, but that's really not its purpose. They want to be able to control what you do and to set the incentives in any direction that they want to. So they can pull this thread here and bring this over here and change it this way and that way just to manipulate the middle class especially.
Yeah, and...
Because, like, the lower class, they don't pay taxes because they don't make the money. The upper class, they don't pay taxes because they get lawyers to go around them. And the middle class, well, that's who they manipulate.
Yeah. Taxation is theft. It's not said often enough. I know it's a tired trope amongst freedom lovers. Yes, taxation is... Actually, technically, it's extortion.
Oh, so their picture isn't enough. You also have to take a new picture of yourself.
Yeah, it seems sort of meta, right? Like, do I have to take a picture of me holding up my license and my passport? Would that already have my picture on it that are already in a government database somewhere that you could very easily access without bothering me at all?
Can I be flipping you off when I take my picture?
Oh, I think I'm going to. should I need to do so. I think I'll also be wearing a full mask where I'm unidentifiable. Anyway, the IRS emphasizes...
What, did you want me to get sick of the COVIDs?
Yeah. The IRS emphasizes that taxpayers can still pay or file their taxes without submitting a selfie or other information to a third-party identity verification company.
Oh, can we? Can we? Yeah. Are we allowed to give the money?
Guess I can't pay taxes. I don't have a computer. Can't take a selfie. Guess I'm home free.
Yeah, well, if enough people tried that, I'm sure that they would mandate the purchase of a smartphone. I wouldn't be surprised if we get there soon.
They'd have something resembling, I don't know, like an ice cream man. It'll be like the IRS selfie van, right? It'd be patrolling your neighborhood. You'll get notified when it's in the neighborhood. They'll come and take a selfie for you. Right, that kind of thing. Or they'll just combine the COVID shots and the selfies and the passport photos. It'll just be one-stop shopping.
Mm.
No, I'm sorry. These things only happen in a free market. Forced anything Like, anything that follows that word, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Forced vaccine. No, go screw yourself. I'm sorry. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, the IRS emphasizes that taxpayers can pay, still pay, or file without submitting a selfie. It's just that you're going to need to do this if you want to do access your historical tax account information, including your records, anything online. Did you claim the child tax credit update thing? Well, there's a portal for that. You're going to have to comply with giving a selfie to claim the child tax credit thing. No good deed goes unpunished, you guys. It's like the stimulus checks, right? Do you want to, like, how much did you get? You want to find out? Are you eligible? Oh, you're going to have to provide this to them.
Mm.
You know, that kind of a thing.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised if they expand this later on. I mean, basically what they're saying is, you're still required to give us money and everything, but if you want us to do anything for you, you also have to make a picture of your ID and a picture of your face and send that in to this completely unknown corporate entity.
If you want to set up an online payment plan, if you want to get an identity protection PIN or any additional IRS functions, such as applications for different things, we'll all transition to the new method over the next year, the agency says.
Now, to make sure that someone doesn't nefariously take your tax information, we're going to expose you to identity theft from this company.
And this company, ID.me, offers relatively broad criteria under which it can share your data. Information we receive about you can be accessed and preserved for an extended period when it is the subject of a legal request or obligation, governmental investigation, or investigation of possible violations of our terms or policies, criminal and other investigations, or to otherwise prevent harm, states its privacy policy online. And we can talk more about that.
So this ID.me is going to be a gatekeeper, if you will. So they will have access to everyone's IRS record. So they will at any time be able to say, yeah, sure, this is the picture of this particular account.
Right.
Regardless of whether it's one they just fabricated themselves.
Yeah, well, and imagine that, too. Imagine the power of the IRS to just, you know, show up with a call. Be like, hey, this is, you know, so-and-so the IRS, need access to your, you know, and they just create, you know, identities for whoever.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Titles and powers and all this magic comes as a result of what I call sorcery or conjuring up. I mean, these people give themselves titles. When they talk about the elite, for example, the elite are the ones who gave themselves that title. the news reporters and all that kind of thing, the authorities, the elite, the whatever.
Since you bring it up, that's one of the irritations I have is people just talk about the elite and like that there's no such thing. Now, there is, in real life, a power elite and a wealth elite, and there's a huge overlap between those two, and that's usually what people are referring to as the power elite. Like, there are people who have more political power than the rest of us. That's the power elite. And the wealth elite, same idea, but with money.
Yeah, of course, I watch the news every day just to find out, how to keep up with the evil ones. But
well, and also, you want to watch the news to see what the government tells you to do so you can do the opposite of that.
Yeah, exactly. You need to know your enemy. So there were a couple of policemen that were gunned down, and they continue to refer to these people as New York's finest.
Novel nanoparticle SARS-CoV-2 vaccine combines immune-focusing and self-assembling nanoparticles.
Okay, so this sounds like robots in your body building more robots.
Yes.
I mean, just to make things simple for the layperson.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, so they talk about how, these were highly effective, but, you know, you keep having to get a booster shot, and they might not work on some variants. So the scientists at Wistar, W-I-S-T-A-R Institute, developed a more targeted vaccine that in animal studies shows stronger, broader, more durable protection in single low dose.
Now, this is concerning to me because when the mRNA, I reluctantly use the word vaccine, when the mRNA technology was being considered publicly, right, mm-hmm. in the public open forum, the news was broadcasting about it, when it was being considered as a method to combat COVID, the people who were sort of not for it warned that the mRNA treatment was a technology platform.
Using nucleic acid and nucleic acid vaccine delivery technology similar to mRNA, the nanoparticle vaccine is encoded in DNA and delivered into cells, thereby giving genetic instructions for the body to build the immunogen internally.
Oh, geez. Okay, so I've ran across many an article where they do talk about using human DNA as a data storage vehicle. That is to say, instead of, say, like a thumb drive or a hard drive somewhere on your computer or a cloud storage thing, which is just a bunch of servers at somebody else's location. So I find it interesting that there can be a link between data, as far as the digital kind, and biology, right? That we have figured out a way to store digital data in your own human biology. Imagine to carry around all of your identifying stuff, right? All the titles to everything you own or anything official, you know, all of your medical records. Imagine if that was just in your DNA and you could retrieve it at will.
Yeah, it'd be very easy to do that.
You wouldn't have to go buy another device for it, right? And that type of a thing. So there's definitely uses for it, but then there's also like scary things about it, like how can this be abused, right? Oh, well, anybody could just plug into your DNA and possibly access this information.
My feeling is that we should be working on the most important thing first, and that is telomere extension, because we're all threatened by the aging process. And as long as our bodies, our cells, and the nucleus of our cells more specifically, are low in, have less and less telomerase as time goes on, the ends of the telomeres kind of dissipate and are not as sharp as they once were, not as long as they once were.
So for our listeners who don't know what a telomere is, this is a part of the DNA, yes?
Yes, it's the end of the chromosomes. They're, you know,
yeah,
the
that was the name I couldn't think of when I was describing like where they would probably throw like your license number or whatever onto your DNA if they were going to put it on there.
Yeah, and like I say, over time they kind of dissipate. But my mom and my sister were involved in research at the NIH about 20 years ago, and they were able to extract something from cancer cells, in other words, telomeres, to get the ends of the telomeres to re-ravel and to get long again, and in other words, to reverse the aging process. So it's possible to go back to your prime.
So there is one major downside of doing that, though. So it's something that they discovered with the lab rats, is that the lab rats had actually evolved to the laboratories that they were being tested in, because the laboratories are always testing for like how toxic a substance is before they put it in makeup, things like that.
So misinformation is the unintentional giving of false information.
Right.
And disinformation is the intentional giving of false information.
Mm-hmm.
From a pure perspective, there is only information.
Well, some of that information is accurate and corresponds to reality, and some of that information doesn't correspond to reality.
Correct. So,
like, 2 plus 2 equals 5 is information. It's wrong.
Who is the onus on to act or otherwise interpret the information. The individual.
Each of us, yes, the individual.
It's on
must
the individual,
act.
Right? So if I have, you know, 100 people telling me the wrong thing, mm-hmm. right, the onus is on me to know that it's the wrong thing that I'm being told, or to be skeptical of the information in such a way that I do something to find out whether or not it's true, or I decide I don't care about the information because it doesn't affect me, so I just go on about my life. Right? So there is only information and then a judgment on the information by individuals.
Well, there is some difficulty there, because if the only information you have about something is misinformation, then you really don't even have the opportunity to correct it.
This is true. This is very true. But it's still just information, and individuals have to make a judgment upon the information.
Have you heard of Joyce Meyer Ministries?
Joyce Meyer?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Well, she's from I forgot that. You know those two arches in Missouri? The
St. Louis Arch? Yeah.
The famous two arches. Anyway, she's from that town. But she does, what I like about her the most is that she has ministries, rescue homes for trafficked girls all around the world, like Africa, Thailand, India. She's got rescue homes in L.A. and in Missouri. So she's called that a dream center, and I just think it's a really great way to help these girls. You know, by going, if you go to joycemyers.org, you could donate to our charity. And I like your charity, what you guys talked about.
Yeah.
And you guys have $30,000 to match of whatever people donate.
Yeah, Free Talk Live, the show, has really stepped up in that regard. Now, will we reach that goal of $30,000? I mean, if people donate more than $30,000, we can't go more than that. So $30,000 is the limit of what we'll match. But we're hopeful.
I don't know if you guys have heard or not, but the French government is offering their citizenry $10,000 to pop a baby because their population has dwindled so. And I can tie this back to the Roman Empire, Germany, and the United States.
I have never heard of a government paying folks for procreation. Now, it does behoove a government to have, or any, you know, violent organization such as a kingdom, for, you know, to have subjects, right? So if they run out of subjects, well, there's no one to rule and no one to do all the work for them so that they can, you know, take their life's effort in the form of taxation. So it does behoove them, but I have not heard. Where did you hear this, Major?
This was on the radio. I don't remember what station or you know, the source, but it was not just a call in from somebody talking smack.
I've got something here from theguardian.com. France plans to pay cash for more babies. Middle class mothers in France could be paid up to £1,000 a month, almost the minimum wage, to stop work for a year and have a third child under a government scheme to boost the birth rate. I am from Wisconsin, and, like, it's rare that there's some sort of successful musical act out of Wisconsin. Violent Femmes are one of them. What's the other one? Is it Weezer? I believe they used to jam in a garage in Kenosha, and that's where their
in
song,
the garage where
in
they
the
belong.
Garage where they belong, yeah, came from. And then there's a old school R&B guy from the 70s, maybe? Al Jarreau? He had some...
Algernon?
Jarreau, Al as in Alan, and then Jarreau, J-E-R-E-A-U, perhaps? I don't know. But smooth voice, you know, songs for the ladies. You know, chef's style, gonna lay you down by the fire.
So sort of a Barry White kind of thing?
Kind of, yeah. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about any of this.
I have no idea why.
Oh, because I mentioned the Violent Femmes, that's what.
Ah.
Oh, and so the Violent Femmes, also, I saw recently a video of theirs where instead of having electric instruments, they had all acoustic instruments. So an acoustic bass, an acoustic guitar, and then the drummer not playing drums. He was playing like this set of bongos with a couple of little splashy things around him. It was great. Anyway.
Yeah, I just assume you're one of those people that has like an encyclopedic knowledge of certain aspects of music, and eventually someone hits play on that and you just kind of go.
Yeah. Also, an unsung heavy metal band from the early 80s, Realm, R-E-A-L-M, they did a sweet, sweet cover of the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby.
Even if you have, you know, some kind of technology, like natural biological technology or artificial technology that figures out how to, like, strain or detect virus particles. Mm-hmm. So now there's this thing that, like, No, they're not even full-sized virus particles. They're just these little nanoparticles that are undetectable. But once they get around each other, they self-assemble into a virus.
Nanobots, self-assemble!
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
Seriously.
We've seen this in science fiction, though, right? This idea isn't new. It's been around. It's just it hasn't been able to be actually done until, well, now, apparently. Yeah. But the idea that you could put some nanoparticles into your body to heal something, right? You know, you get in a car accident or something and you need it, you know, the hospital's too far. And so here's some nanoparticles, bro. Oh, your leg is fixed or whatever, right?
Right.
Like I could see where this would be helpful stuff.
Yeah, it does have a potential for good. But I mean, honestly, the people running our medical system, I do not trust them. And I mean, fundamentally, our medical system always goes back to the government.
Yes.
Like, in order to be, like, Jet was talking about, you know, titles. And what I wanted to pipe up with is, like, doctor.
How do these self-assembling nanoparticles, how are they controlled? Like, are they given instructions?
Controlled? Yeah. Why would we do that?
Well, there are certain people on planet Earth that are completely obsessed with control, who will do anything for more of it. And to keep whatever amount of it is that they already have. These people are known as sociopaths or psychopaths, and we find them generally in places like governments, for example.
Is the ideal place for a psychopath.
Or a sociopath.
Yep.
And so,
government and the height of corporations, but I repeat myself.
Government is a corporation, in fact, the largest corporation.
And corporations are part of government,
yes.
Lest we forget.
So what I mean by controlled is when I hear the word platform, I immediately think something online. Mm-hmm. I immediately think something where you've got to have a login and a password, or something you can download onto your phone with an app, right? Oh, yeah, become part of our platform, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about people getting canceled off of platforms. YouTube's a platform. Spotify's a platform. Twitter's a platform. Facebook's mm-hmm. a platform. These are all called platforms. So I imagine that there's some way that people communicate with these nanoparticles to tell them what to do. Is this method, internet-based? Is it Wi-Fi? Can somebody control these nanoparticles once you put them in your body, other than you?
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.